Well, this morning I was going to I've been on the subject of the many wonders of the world. Actually, they're unrecognized wonders, things that God created, the many wonders that mankind ignores. Someday God will use all of His creation to judge mankind. He will use every element in the earth to judge mankind. We're going to take a look at that in the coming weeks. Last week we took a look at the life-giving blood, and I think this morning we're going to have to continue that somewhat. I wanted to get away from that and go move on, but just can't seem to do it. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God breathed life. You don't have to turn there if you don't like. But God breathed life into Adam, and the life that He breathed into Adam was the blood. And the blood is the life. Everything is in the blood. All of your vitamins, minerals, protein, everything is in the blood. Without the blood, there's no life. When your blood stops flowing, you're dead. Someday my blood will stop flowing. Someday I'll be dead. If your blood is red, it's because there's oxygen in it. Oxygen makes the blood red. When the blood gets to the lungs, by the time it passes through the entire body, it's almost a bluish color because all the oxygen has been depleted and distributed throughout your body. So your life is definitely in the blood. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, God made coats of skin for Adam and Eve. They made their own coats out of fig leaves or some kind of a leaf, and that doesn't work. That's a type of self-righteousness. It doesn't work. When I clothe myself in my own righteousness, it doesn't work. We have to be clothed in God's righteousness, and so God killed an animal, shed the animal's blood to clothe Adam and Eve. That's the first place in the Bible where we have a type of the substitution for our sins. According to Dr. M.R. DeHaan, there's something in the Bible called the law of first mention. Do you want to know what that is? Vince? Yes, the law of first mention is the first place in the Bible where they talk about a certain subject. The first place in the Bible where we have the mention of a substitute for our sins is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, when God slew an animal and sacrificed the blood of that animal and clothed Adam and Eve in His own righteousness. And then in Genesis chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, we have Abel, whose blood cried out to God from the ground. You think the blood isn't important to God? It certainly is, for the life is in the blood. And then in Genesis, in verse 11, and the earth opened up her mouth to receive His blood. Blood is important. Every time someone sheds blood, God is in there, and He doesn't like it. Sometimes He calls for it. But whenever there's blood mentioned, God is in charge of the whole thing. Blood is important to God. There are three things concerning salvation, and you can find this in most all of M.R. DeHaan's writings. The law, first of all, salvation must be of the Lord. Number one, you can't acquire your own salvation. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. The priest can't forgive you. The Virgin Mary can't forgive you. There's some dead saint. There's only one way to get saved, and that's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith. Salvation is always of the Lord. Number two, it must be by the death of an innocent substitute. When God slew the animal and clothed Adam and Eve, that animal was absolutely innocent. In the Old Testament, they always killed a lamb or a goat and made an offering. It was always an innocent animal. I thought about sacrificing my wife's dog, but he's perfectly innocent, and I can't do that. No response. And the third thing, it always, first of all, it must be by the Lord, and it must be the death of an innocent substitute. And the third thing is, it must always be by the blood. Must always be by the blood. By the way, I just thought of something. Turn over, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10. I wish I hadn't thought of it. I'll never get through with this series if I don't. Maybe. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 10, we have a little word here. The word is never. Look in verse 1, if you will. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make those who come to it perfect. Your Bible may have another word there, but the word is perfect. But the word never, I want you to look at. And the word never comes from a Greek word, which is kind of hard to say. It's oudipot. And it means not even at any time, never at all. All the sacrifices that anyone made and all the things that anyone did with any other kind of blood other than the blood of Jesus Christ is never takes away sins. In the Old Testament, when Moses and all the nation of Israel offered sacrifices unto God, those things never took away sins. The only thing that takes away sin is the perfect blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot offer anything other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the word never, which means not even at any time, never at all. Look in verse 10, if you will. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering often the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. You ever go to a church where a priest or somebody else stands up in front of the church and tells you that he is offering this or that for your sins? You know what the Bible says? Never. No, never. Not at any time, never at all. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering often the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Well, what is it that takes away sin if the sacrifices don't do it? Look in verse 4, chapter 10. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore then he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. The only thing that can take away sins is the perfect blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And then we have, I remember oftentimes talking to people and they say, I had a couple of people in particular say, well, I believe they were saved in the Old Testament by the law and offering sacrifices. No. You're Bible ignorant if you believe that, because the Bible says those things never take away sins, never, not even at any time, never at all, never take away sins. The only thing that'll do it is the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect blood. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 to 6, Judas said, I have taken innocent blood, or rather he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. And then, in Romans chapter 1 and 2, turn over there if you will. We'll cover a couple of verses here, and then we'll get on with what I really want to get on this morning. But I kind of got off track. I just wanted to point that out. Hopefully you will make some notes in your Bible there in Romans or in Hebrews chapter 10. Someday, God will judge the world. He will use the world to judge themselves. All the evolutionists, I was reading in a book that I got from, Linda gave me a book on evolution, a big thick thing, and there's a thing in there about a bird, what is it called, the Malay bird, in Australia. And this bird digs a 6-foot hole, 6-foot long, and 3-foot deep hole. It's called a Malay sparrow or something like that. Anyhow, he digs a hole, and it's amazing, 6 feet long and 3 feet deep. And this is in Australia, where it's extremely hot. And then he fills the hole up with vegetation, and then it rains, and the vegetation, of course, begins to heat up. And then he mates with the other bird, the female bird, and she lays her eggs in this hole, and then he covers it up with dirt and sand, and he's got a beak that acts like a thermometer. And he sticks his beak, and after she lays the eggs, he covers it up, and he sticks his beak in the ground and takes temperature every few minutes for, I think it was like 3 months. Every few minutes. And if it gets too warm, he takes sand away, or he puts sand on top, whatever. But the temperature cannot vary 1 degree. I said, wow. Well, who taught that bird to do that? Do you think he evolved? I wondered, did he evolve into that? Or do you think maybe God created that bird? The evolutionists would like to think he evolved. But there's too many amazing things going on there. And then when the eggs hatch, they crawl out of the hole, and they fly away, and then they live a lot. They're never nurtured by mom and dad again. They just fly away. And then when they become adult birds, they go through the same process. Well, who taught them to do that? Wasn't mom and dad, because as soon as they came out of that big hole, they flew away and started running their own life. Do you think they really evolved? Or maybe God is in charge. Well, I think God's in charge. Romans chapter 2, if you will. Just a few verses here. Therefore, verse 1, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same thing. Go ahead, and that's the truth. But am I allowed to judge? Well, yes, I am. But I have to judge according to righteous judgment. I have to judge according to the Word of God, the Bible. If I don't judge according to this Bible, if I judge according to my own self-righteousness, then I judge wrong. But God has a right to judge everything and everybody. Do you realize that you never hear scientists talk about the blood very much? You know why? Because there's so many things about the blood that they just don't understand. They just don't get it. And yet, did you ever go to a hospital to have your blood taken out? You know, they can tell you what's wrong with you just by taking out your blood. They can tell you if you've got this problem, if this disease. They can tell you if your blood sugar's low or high, if you need to go on, they can tell you. They can tell you if you've had a heart attack or a stroke just by checking your blood. It's amazing. No wonder God said, for the life is in the blood. And yet, mankind says we evolved. There is no God. I was watching TV the other day and I saw a scientist on TV said that they created life. He said they created a life form. Now, I don't know exactly what he's talking about, but I'll tell you, I honestly think when man gets to the point where he can literally create some kind of life, I think the end is about ready. Because God said, in the beginning, God created. But when man begins to think that he can actually create, then I think they're in trouble. And God will really judge him. Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them who commit such things. You know one way God's going to judge? With truth. With truth. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them who do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? And then on down the next verse, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Guess what? There's one thing for sure. Judgment is coming, isn't it? You know, we live our life and we think, well, I haven't been judged yet. Well, you might not think so, but you certainly have. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior and put your faith and trust in His blood, guess what? You've passed over the ultimate judgment. I'd like to show you a couple of verses in Revelation, and then I'm going to go to the book of Psalms before we're out of time this morning. That's where I really wanted to go, but I haven't got there yet. I really wanted to go there. That's where I should have went. But all these things seem to happen. I don't know. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, if you will. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, you probably never thought about that verse too much, but I want you to look at the word own. His own blood. You say, well, so what? Everybody has their own blood. No, no. No, not really. You know, my blood came from my parents, and their blood came from their parents, and their blood came from their parents, all the way back to Adam. But Jesus Christ had his own blood, the blood of God, separate from humanity, perfect, sinless, innocent blood. You ever read a verse like this once in a while? Just look at one word, his own blood. How many times do you ever think of that word? His own blood. Not human blood, not his mother's blood, not his father's blood, his own perfect, innocent blood. Now then, if you ever had trouble in your life and you want to overcome it, you know how you overcome trouble in your life? Turn over to Revelation chapter 12, if you will. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, we are told that... Well, let's read that verse, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. This takes place in the middle of the seven-year tribulation. Satan will be cast into the earth, out of the heavens, out of the atmosphere, literally cast to the earth. The accuser, he is your accuser, and when you have a problem in your life, you can almost always bet that Satan is behind it. But guess what? In the next verse, you know how you overcome Satan and that problem? And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You overcome all things by the blood of Christ. You overcome death, eternal death, by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have eternal salvation through his blood. And then as you go through your daily Christian life, you overcome on a daily basis by the blood of Christ. You ever think about how important the blood of Christ really is? One more place. 1 John chapter 5, if you will. And then I'll finally get on to what I really want to get on to this morning. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. If anyone ever tells you that Jesus Christ isn't God, take them to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, if you will. Jesus Christ is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. And then in verse 8, there are three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the water, which is the Word of God, the Bible, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Do you see how important the blood of Christ really is? It's the theme of the Bible. It certainly is a bloody book, isn't it? Now, if you will, turn over to Psalms chapter 93. And we want to look at just a few verses in Psalms here, 93 through 98, just a few verses. God's judgment is coming, is it not? It's coming upon the whole world. He's going to judge the world. And as a matter of fact, at the Battle of Armageddon, the blood is going to flow about 4 feet deep in the entire valley of Megiddo, 600 miles long. That's pretty long, isn't it? The blood that man rejected of the Lord Jesus Christ, their own blood will flow that deep in the valley, as says, as high as the horse's bridles. Well, that's about that deep, isn't it? That's what a bridle comes to on a horse, right about that deep. That's a lot of blood. That's a lot of human blood. You know something? you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have a bloody, bloody judgment coming someday. In through the book of Psalms here, God's judgment is coming. And how many times do you ever look at the world and say, boy, that wicked so-and-so, he just seems to prosper. Well, his judgment is coming someday, and it's all based on two things, the Word of God and the blood of Christ. Every judgment is based on two things, the Word of God, which is the truth, and the blood of Christ. That's where the judgment is going to wind up. In 93rd Psalm, verse 1, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established, that it cannot be moved. Guess what? Next verse. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art everlasting. Guess what? God created the world, the universe, everything in it. He has established it, and it cannot be moved no matter how hard man tries. The evolutionist says, well, we don't believe in God. We think man evolved, and now we're going to try to create life, and we're going to do this. No. God established it. You can't change it. It is the way it is. One of these days, this world is just going to explode, and we'll probably get on that next week, I hope, and you'll see how easy it is the world explode. By the way, I was reading this book I was telling you about, and the evolutionist says that the world was created from a big bang. We'll get on that probably, maybe. And hydrogen had a part of it. And you know what? I don't know if you know anything about hydrogen. But you know what oxygen does, don't you? You mix oxygen with acetylene. You know how hot it gets? Pretty darn hot. Yet God takes hydrogen and oxygen and mixes them together and makes water. That's a miracle, folks. That's an absolute miracle, just can't happen. But anyway, the evolutionist says, well, we believe the world created from a big bang and all the hydrogen exploded. Well, guess what? If the hydrogen exploded, then every last bit of hydrogen would explode. Mixed with the oxygen, there would have been such a big explosion, there would be no universe, no earth, no humanity, no nothing. The hydrogen would have just burned everything up. If anybody believes that, you've got to be an absolute fool. The hydrogen did not explode and create what you and I see today. God created it. He established it. On down to chapter 94, if you will, 94th Psalm. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Notice David said that twice. God, to whom vengeance belongeth. By the way, it doesn't belong to you and me. It's not up to me to bring vengeance upon this earth or bring vengeance upon Mr. Al Gore, who I just love completely, or bring vengeance upon all of those who, such as Ted Turner, who made the statement that half of humanity ought to be killed to make room for the rest of the world. He actually said that. Did you know that, Mr. Ted Turner? Well, guess what, Teddy? Vengeance is coming upon you one of these days, Buster, and God's going to do it. I remember Ted Turner said, well, what good would it do to go to heaven? There's no beer up there. Oh, yeah? Well, when you go to hell, you won't get your beer, Teddy. It'll be hot, and you'll be thirsty, and you'll wish you had a beer, but you won't get any down there either, you jerk. Yeah. Real smart man, Ted Turner is. Verse 2. What's that? Yeah, look who he is. You got that right. I'm not too fond of Jane, are you? No. Verse 2. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? Well, they're going to triumph until God comes back and judges this crazy world. Probably pretty soon, and right in the middle of the 7-year tribulation, God is really going to judge them, and hopefully I'll get on that next week after I get through all his other stuff. How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? You know what it reminds me of? Reminds me of a group of scientists sitting in a room trying to prove that man evolved. That's what it reminds me of. It started all the way back in Great Britain at a meeting at Oxford when all the great scientists and all the great thinkers got together and took Charles Darwin and said, you know what, Charles, we're going to accept your book and we're going to promote it, and that's going to be our Bible, and there's nothing you can do about it, world. And that's where we're at today. Do you ever try to argue with an evolutionist? You might as well hang it up. Actually, the evolutionary thing, I got to tell you, it started with philosophers. Not one of the men who started the evolutionary thing was a scientist. They were philosophers. And they'd sit around thinking and philosophizing. And they'd think about it, and they'd think about it, and they'd come up with this theory, and then they'd write it down. And then after it was written down, it became a law. Beware of a philosopher. I just thought I'd let you know, though, I have a doctorate in philosophy. I wish I'd have took another route. But whatever. Anyhow, they break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. Verse 12, on down here, if you will. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Guess what, folks? If you carry a Bible, or if you have a Bible in your possession, or if you own a Bible, guess what God said? You are blessed. And every once in a while, things don't go very good for you. Consider it a blessing. You know what God's doing? He's teaching you something. He's growing you up. He's making you strong. Things don't always go good, because if they did, you wouldn't be strong. You'd just expect it. You'd expect things to be perfect. And then when things went bad, you say, well, God, you forsake me. I'm never going to church, never going to read your Bible. No, no, no. Expect a spiritual spanking occasionally. It's good for you. Might make your butt hurt, but it's good for you, because the Lord loves you and you're being blessed. You know, those who reject God and those who reject the power of the blood and those who reject all of God's miracles will never be chastened of God until it's too late, when it's absolutely too late. You know, in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 7, there are a group of people who say to the Lord, 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 didn't I prophesy in your name? And didn't I do many mighty works in your name? Didn't I perform miracles? And the Lord says to them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you. That word never is the same word we saw in Hebrews. And it means no, not at any time, ever at all. No, they didn't lose their salvation. They were never saved in the first place. They were just a bunch of self-righteous idiots like Benny Hinn, trying to make everybody think they're perfect. What a sad thing. Anyway, back to the Bible. Verse 15, we're going to skip some verses. I'm going to try to cover a lot of territory here in a short time. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? And then on down to verse 21. Or verse 20, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, who frameth mischief by a law? Now pay attention to this next verse, and then we're going to close with another verse that just hit me before I started. Verse 21, they gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. Guess who that is? Jesus Christ. Nothing has changed, has it? Whenever you get time, read the rest of these verses in 93 through 98. And verse 98 ends with verse 9. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. How's he going to judge it? Well, by the righteous, by the innocent blood that they shed. The innocent blood that the world shed, he will use as part of the judgment of the world. To judge the earth with righteousness shall he judge the world, and the peoples with equity. Now then, turn over, if you will, to the book of Ecclesiastes, the very last chapter. The book of Ecclesiastes, and then we'll close with this. I just put my my bulletin that I put notes on and everything in here, and when I opened it up, this is where I opened it up to this morning, quite accidentally. Verse 13, Ecclesiastes, the very last chapter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I don't know how many times you've read through the Bible, but God often says, here is the conclusion, or here is the sum. God always sums everything up so that it's very simple and very clear, easy to understand. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, by the way, let me just say this. I want you to know this. Let me point this out, if I may. When Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, or when he wrote about Ecclesiastes, he was in a backslidden condition. He had too many wives, too many concubines. They took his mind away from the Lord, and he served their gods, and he made sacrifices, and he was in a backslidden condition. When he came back to the Lord, then he wrote Ecclesiastes concerning his old backslidden condition. And then he summed the whole thing up concerning the world and everything in it. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Guess what? You cannot hide from God, can you? Everything you do, everything you say will be made revealed. And the world that rejects God and accepts everything else, God will judge. And that day they will say, boy, why didn't I open up my eyes? Why didn't I see the God that created all these things? Why didn't I see the God that created the air, the sun, outer space, the blood, the complex blood? Why didn't I see the God that created blood and shed his blood on the cross? Why didn't I see that? Well, if you're here today, I hope you have, and I believe most of you have. If you ever have any trouble in your life, if you ever have a problem, just remember, you have overcome every problem by the blood of Christ. As somebody once said, there's only a problem if, in fact, the problem actually exists. I don't know how that works, but have you trusted Christ as your Savior? I hope you have. The blood of Christ covers all sins and keeps you safe. You will never have to worry about coming into God's judgment ever again through the blood of Christ. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Dear Lord, we thank you for all things, especially the blood of Christ that he shed for us, the perfect sinless blood. And then, Lord, we thank you for putting it all in the Bible so that we can't get it fouled up and twisted and perverted. It's there, it's clear, and it's the truth. You created all things. You sustain all things. If you didn't, we would just blow up and explode. And dear Lord, we just thank you for the blood of Christ and your word. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. Thank you very much.